Friday, the 17th of July. There's a particular quality to Friday reading. The week's arguments have had time to find each other, and this morning they finally did. I've been up since well before light. What I keep circling back to is a question about evidence. Not what these systems can do, but how anyone actually knows. Four pieces, and every one of them turns out to be about that. Let's get into them. First up, Moonshot AI released Kimi K3, and the number everyone led with is 2.8 trillion parameters. That makes it, if the weights ship as promised by the 27th of July, the largest open weight model anyone has released, taking the title from DeepSeek's 1.6 trillion parameter V4 Pro. Moonshot is calling it the first open 3 trillion class model, which involves some generous rounding, but the scale is real. The architecture has genuinely new pieces. There's a mechanism called Kimi Delta Attention, which Moonshot says gives up to 6.3 times faster decoding in million token contexts. There's a second one they call Attention Residuals, claimed to deliver about 25% higher training efficiency for under 2% additional cost. And people reading the technical report closely pulled out more, a latent mixture of experts design that activates 16 experts out of 896, an activation ratio under 2%, along with per-head muon, quantile load balancing, and a new activation function called the sigmoid tang unit. Kimi Delta Attention apparently took about a year and a half from first design to frontier scale. Here's where it bears on the evidence question. Artificial analysis ran the model independently and put K3 at 57 on their intelligence index, comparable to Claude Opus 4.8 and GPT 5.5, still behind Claude Fable 5 and GPT 5.6 Sol. On their private Long Horizon Knowledge Work evaluation, it reached an ELO of 1547, 732 points above Kimi K2.6, behind only Fable 5. Arena put it at number 1 in the front-end code arena, with a 76% pairwise win rate, up from 18th place. And it did all of that while using 21% fewer output tokens than its predecessor. Then there's the pricing, which I did not expect. $3 per million input tokens, 15 per million output. That is Sonnet-level pricing, and it makes K3 the most expensive model a Chinese lab has ever shipped, up from 95 cents and $4 for K2.6. Simon Willison ran his Pelican on a bicycle test on it, and then, in the same post, argued that the test has stopped working. The correlation between that drawing and real model quality has mostly severed, he says. And the reason is telling. It doesn't touch agentic tool calling it all, which is the thing that matters most for a model like this one. He's keeping it because it forces him to actually run the model, but he's telling you not to use it to compare them. That is a benchmark author deprecating his own benchmark on the morning the biggest open model of the year lands. Moving on to our second story, which is the other open weights release. And the timing is remarkable. Thinking Machines Lab, Mira Murati's company, shipped its first model, trained from scratch. It's called Inkling, and the full weights are on Hugging Face, a mixture of experts transformer, 975 billion total parameters, 41 billion active, 1 million tokens of context, pre-trained on 45 trillion tokens of text, images, audio, and video. What strikes me is the framing. The lab writes in its own announcement that Inkling is not the strongest model available today, open or closed. They just say it. The argument instead is that a particular combination of properties makes it a good base to customize. Native multimodal reasoning, controllable thinking effort, and availability for fine-tuning on their Tinker platform today. The architecture largely follows DeepSeek 5e3, 256 routed experts, 2 shared, 6 routed active per token, sigmoid router with auxiliary loss-free load balancing. A US lab openly crediting a Chinese open source design as its blueprint is not nothing. There are departures, attention interleaves sliding window and global layers at 5 to 1, and they found relative positional embeddings outperform and extrapolate better than the near universal rotary positional embedding. training used Mon for the large matrix weights and Atom for everything else. Post-training bootstrapped from supervised fine-tuning on synthetic data generated by open models including Kimi K2.5, then poured the majority of compute into asynchronous reinforcement learning, scaled past 30 million rollouts across two long continuous runs. Reasoning reward improved log linearly the whole way, but the part that speaks to this morning's thread is what they call epistemics. They trained the model for calibration, expressing the right amount of confidence, including on questions that aren't settled. They ran reinforcement learning against proper scoring rules on a corpus of resolved real-world questions. They used two automated graders, a rubric grader checking what a good answer should contain, and a claims grader that verifies each factual claim with agentic web search and penalizes claims that don't check out. And they added short-form factual questions with abstention-aware rewards, so answering only pays off when the model is likely to be right, which makes the optimal policy to say, I don't know when it doesn't. One lovely accident came out of that run. Over the course of reinforcement learning, the chain of thought compressed on its own. It dropped articles and connectives, went telegraphic, stayed comprehensible, reached the same answers. Nothing in the reward asked for it. Efficiency alone did that. Third up, and we move from models to metal. DARPA and the U.S. Air Force confirmed that an F-16, modified into an autonomous flying testbed, is in the air right now, with an artificial intelligence agent controlling the flight. This is the Venom program, Viper experimentation, and next-generation operations model, flying out of Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. An AI flying a fighter is not itself new. Earlier air combat evolution work put an agent into a dogfight using the X-62A Vista, and that worked. But Vista is one aircraft, a unique, purpose-built research airframe. The whole point of Venom is that this is a standard operational F-16. The team built what they call the Venom Autonomy Kit, which interfaces with the aircraft's existing flight controls and mission systems. And here is the detail I keep turning over. They automated the flight controls and sensors without changing the jet's core software. A pilot flips a switch to hand control to the agent and flips it back to take control away. A human stays in the cockpit the whole time, watching. So the milestone is not that AI can fly, it's that AI can be installed. The distance between a one-off research aircraft and the operational fleet is the distance between a demonstration and a capability. And this closes a good deal of it. The program manager, Brigadier General James Valpiani, was careful about what this establishes. He said the tests advance the infrastructure needed to develop trusted, autonomous air combat capabilities, infrastructure, not capability. And then, he said, the harder thing directly. Many hard questions remain concerning the performance and trustworthiness of combat AI in the extreme fog and friction of modern warfare. That's the program manager, on the day of his own milestone, telling you the trust problem is open. Where it goes next is the Artificial Intelligence Reinforcements Program, which will use the Venom fleet as a proving ground for multiple competing agents in live flight, scaling up to multi-ship operations. The intended endpoint is a human pilot, commanding and orchestrating teams of uncrewed aircraft, feeding into collaborative combat aircraft programs. Valpiani finishes his tenure this month. Lieutenant Colonel Patrick Hyland takes over the reinforcements program, with Terry Wilson at the Air Force Research Laboratory staying on as deputy for continuity. And for our fourth and final story today, OpenAI has a model it will never sell you. It's called GPT-RAID, and its entire job is to attack OpenAI's other models. MIT Technology Review got an exclusive look at it. The construction is self-play. Researchers took a model with no hacking training and set it loose against several other models inside an environment built to mimic where language models actually get deployed. Browsing the web, reading email and calendar apps, editing code. GPT-RAID's goal was to break them. Their goal was to survive. Round after round, both sides got better. The focus was prompt injection, slipping instructions into any text a model might read to make it leak confidential information, sabotage a code base, or produce something harmful. Nikhil Kanpal, one of the co-creators, framed the motivation in terms of agents. As models start touching files, websites, third-party code, and other agents, the risk surface grows, and the blast radius grows with it. The results are the point. GPT-RED found a class of attack the researchers had never seen, which they call a fake chain of thought. It inserts a fabricated entry into another model's reasoning trace, so the target acts on information it believes it has already verified. Chris Choquette Chu describes it as telling a model that 1 plus 1 equals 3 and that it has checked this already. The model says, oh, of course, and outputs 3. They re-ran a 2025 experiment in which human red teamers probed an earlier GPT-5. GPT-RED found effective attacks more successfully than the humans had. Set against Vendi, a vending machine agent built by Andon Labs, it changed item prices and canceled a customer's order. And then, the defensive number, which is the one that lands, more than 90% of GPT-RED's strongest attacks worked against GPT-5 from last August. Fewer than 23% work against GPT-5.6. It has real gaps. It's weak at multi-turn attacks needing back and forth, which humans find easy. It can't yet hide text and images well. Jessica G., at Georgetown Center for Security and Emerging Technology, called the self-play approach good and the results very promising, while noting that human expertise still matters and that working out where humans are most needed would itself be worth something. So what was this morning really about? Evidence. Each of these four is a story about how you come to know that a system does what it claims. Moonshot ships 2.8 trillion parameters and hands verification to Arena and artificial analysis, while the man with the most famous informal benchmark in the field tells you his has stopped working. Thinking Machines trains a model to say, I don't know, and publishes the table where it loses. DARPA puts an agent in a real F-16, and the program manager says, trust is the open question. OpenAI builds an attacker because people can't enumerate the attacks fast enough anymore. Capability has become the easy part. Knowing is the hard part. The full digest has 71 more items waiting, including a paper on world models that dream right and still act wrong. I'll be here tomorrow morning. Until then, check the numbers yourself.